Good morning, everyone. Today, our faculty member, Dr. Dharmendra Mehta, is delivering his audio lecture on overseas distribution, which is useful for MBA, MCOM, and other UGPG courses.
So, dear students, welcome back. Now we are discussing the topic international distribution. And I think the views of William Stanton is the best one to begin with, where he defines a channel of distribution for a product is the route taken by the title to the goods as they move from the producer to the ultimate consumers or industrial user. One of the best definition of international distribution given by Stanton. But when we try to understand the characteristics of channels of distribution, at least five important characteristics cannot be ignored. Number one, route or pathway through which goods and services flow. Number two, flow of the goods, services to be smooth and of course sequential. Third, functions of intermediaries, facilitating transfer of right from ownership to the possession. Fourth, remuneration, very important in terms of commission, margins, incentives, all kinds of compensation. And last but not the least, composition, where we have composition meaning by wholesalers, retailers, agents, distributors who are going to participate and ensure the flow voluntarily. So this is all about the characteristics of channels of distribution to be always handled. But as we move in the foreign market or even in international marketing, the distribution becomes very, very critical. Because here, marketeers need to manage the channel of distribution beyond domestic market. So definitely, there will be a very strong and stout channel management strategy needs to be formulated. So as a good competitive international marketing student, you have to understand which are the very important components of international channel strategy development. This is a very key area of today's discussion, where you need to understand before understanding the criteria for selecting channels of international distribution. We must understand that what would be your best channel strategy to fulfill the middleman's and the end user's expectations. So you have to see that the number one important component of channel strategy in foreign market is capital, because the financial implications of distribution are always to be looked very seriously. So cash flow patterns associated with the capital requirements cannot be ignored by the middleman. Two, control of channel partners. How we are going to handle the control and the cost is not that practical, but Salesforce efforts and their proper evolution control is very important area. Third is channel coverage. How you are going to see the foreign markets, regional wise, geographical considerations, all those coming under full market coverage strategy. Then another C important, which cannot be ignored, is the character. Company's character, the distribution system selected guest characters need to be evaluated and need to be selectively evaluated. Then another C is very important, the continuity of channel of distribution. Because the middlemen tend to be small institutions, they are not very big institutions. So you have to see that company has no fear of losing its distribution in the specific area. And again, the last but not the least, is the very important term coming from finance: costs, investment cost, capital cost of the developing the channel partners, channel management, and the continuing cost of maintaining those channel members. So this is all about the channel strategy development. As we move further, then there is a criteria for selecting channels of distribution, because it is not overnight decision. Let me remind you very clearly, dear student, that the criteria has to be very, very sound. Selection of distribution channel in foreign market is not a one-day affair. Companies need to make lot of proper studies, understand the implications involved in the process, and look after the future potential of the markets. So when developing the criteria or selecting the criteria for channels of distribution, especially in international market, the biggest beginning of criteria has to be from international marketing objectives of the concerned company. Why, what, where, all W's need to be answered in IMO, what I call international marketing objectives of the company. Number two would be company's own marketing image. What kind of marketing image it is carrying through? Then the another important criteria is the existing marketing channels of the firm in the nearby markets or from the it's a native place from where the company is being originated. So what kind of existing marketing setup it is already enjoying? Then another criteria consideration is channel availability in the target market, because the channels need to be available, channel partners need to show interest in your products, in your services, then they will be inquiring and soliciting your all kinds of trade problems. Speed of market entry, because if you are doing a lot of thinking, contemplating, then in that case your rivals may, by that time rivals may enter. So speed of market entry has to be very, very critical. Then financial resources, because ultimately it is the capital which is going to play important role, cost is going to play important role. So what is your sound financial condition of the company, your affordability into the deep penetration of different markets or regional markets or the local markets need to be properly due taken care. Another important is that criteria is the structure of the organization. What kind of hierarchy? I've been discussing with you line and staff, I've been discussing with you committee organizations, then the product centric organization, geographical organizations, all kinds of combinational type of organization, line and staff, and you know, all that can be evaluated, need to be evaluated very, very meticulously, so that company can decide about the best organization structure available in the given market conditions. Then the legal implications, every country has got its all legal regulations, you know. As there have been instances, that a time France, for example, prohibited the use of door-to-door selling. Same thing happened in Iraq, that the commission agent's role was very restricted. Iraqi legislation used to prohibit state enterprises from dealing with the third-party intermediaries, including commission agents. So countries may have their specific laws, law of the land. So as a good distributor, as a good distributor management, channel management, you cannot ignore the legal implications. Then specific product need. And every country has got its own level of cultural, social background. So sometimes high unit value, low turnover specialty goods can also affect your overall specific product category. And of course, when I take my classes of interest marketing, I always use one word, synergy. Synergy cannot be ignored. Synergy with what? A very simple question I've been asking you, that synergy of your best marketing mix, because ultimately marketing mix is the critical game changer. So as a game changer, your sound marketing mix, combination of elements of marketing mix to be offered. So all in all, company's past experience in international market is of course another critical criteria factor. So you can have almost 10 to a dozen kind of selection criteria where you can always evaluate easily the proper channel selection of international distribution. But ultimately, I always say that you have to give appropriate weightage to be assigned. Appropriate weightage has to be assigned to each of the 10 to a dozen kind of criteria considerations. Now, when it comes to the process, what is the best process of choosing channels of international distribution? It's not that tough, but it becomes tough. It's not that tough at all in an audio session. It is not that tough in a classroom. But when it comes to start choosing channel of international distribution, because, you know, very, very special and technical judgments need to be made. So number one important process stage is locating middleman with the financial strength, their managerial stability, their organizational capability, the nature and reputation of the business, and as well as volume of the business they are going to generate. So there you can prepare as a student, as a trainee, you can prepare a very wide checklist of the criteria differing from country to country, product to product, in choosing the channels of international distribution as a locating middleman. Because actual or potential productivity of the middleman has to be judged well in advance. Because once you have chosen them, then you have no other way to retain them. Number two stage is the screening of the intermediaries. So here, product information, distributor requirements, native language, then follow-up of the best respondents, all kind of things. Because, you know, as experienced exporters, always suggest you that go personally, visit personally, and talk to the ultimate users of your end products. It's not one way, it's not one line solution. But visiting the country personally, talking to the end users of the product in that country, in the med market, and then you can also use the best distributor available in that country. Thereby screening is a very exhaustive process. And finally, then you can go for the task of agreements. Of course, written agreements. So negotiation process has to be carried out. Convince the middleman, go for agreements, spelling out specific responsibility of the manufacturer and middleman, and including the minimum sales requirement, so that their distribution's evolution is becoming easy, and failure to meet sales can give them the right of discarding the concerned middleman. So that is why this is very short in nutshell. I discussed with you three important P1, P2, P3. Or phase 1, phase 2, phase 3, where you can always see that. Sometimes, in international market, the channel partners are not that interested. So then that you have to go for at least five types of motivational offers. It's very important as a foreign market, Bharat marketing student, that you have to maintain the continuity. So there has to be motivation in sales volume, because sales volume will always come through if you got motivation. So number one is financial motivation, offering financial rewards with a combination of adequate margin and adequate volume, then they will definitely give attention. Then go for psychological rewards and psychological recognition. Especially in US, regional office or your parent company's home office is a great honor. So publicity in company media, newspapers of your staff, that would always ensure proper esteem development and huge amount of involvement in middleman. Then the communication of the highest level, then they are arranging some trips and they are ensuring that there is no communication gap. Proper top management support and continuous corporate rapport building exercises. This would ensure that you are able to motivate your channel members for not only for lifetime, but at least for early few years, where they are going to do a lot in image building of the company. So this was the part I wanted to tell about the channel of distribution in foreign markets. But dear students, sometimes you know there is a very tricky part to this concept, and this part is that how you are going to select the determinants. There is no single solution for manufacturers' channel decision, but there are certain key areas or key determinants of channel types which you need to understand before undertaking your venture in the foreign market. Because channel adaptation is secondary, but first of all, in domestic market and inter market, lot of varieties exist. So you have to see that channel length, channel width, and number of channels of distribution. If these three things are done properly, then problems can be handled in a very easy manner. Channel length is always concerned with the number of times a product changing hands through intermediaries before it is going to land in the hands of ultimate buyer. That is called channel length. Channel width is primarily concerned with the number of middlemen at a particular point or a step in the distribution channel. So it is a kind of function of the number of wholesalers and the different types which are going to be used. So if a few qualified intermediaries are needed, then proper product support is also to be offered, and that is why the distribution becomes exclusively if only one intermediary or only one category of intermediary is used in that particular selected geographical area. Third is number of distribution channels. Because as you know, companies sometimes go for long channel management, or sometimes they go for direct channel management. So that is why multiple channels is also nowadays becoming popular. So manufacturer is setting up its own direct sales force in a foreign market, where the manufacturer cannot remove the original channel or even agents because of strategic or legal reasons. So this was very important: channel length, channel width, and the number of distribution channels. Now sometimes you have to also see that there is no single solution. You have, as a manufacturer, you have to see that how best you are going to handle your channel distribution, especially in foreign markets. And that is why lot of new terms need to be understood, because domestic markets and foreign markets are absolutely different in terms of pricing, in terms of contracts, in terms of demand matching, in terms of supply, in terms of price, in terms of promotion, in terms of financing, in terms of transfer of title. So lot of new terms to be there. Sometimes there are different kinds of direct and indirect selling channels. So today I would discuss types of intermediaries, especially right from the indirect channel perspective. Indirect channels may include domestic agents and the agents who look after the interest of manufacturers. Domestic agents never take title of the goods or possession of goods. But in other cases, agents who look after the interest of manufacturers, they have a wide variety of agents. Sometimes they are called EBs, export brokers, to bring a buyer and seller together, for which they get the fee paid. They become export broker. They are the best negotiator and with the best terms, but they are not going to conclude the transactions. Forget. Manufacturers export agent, MEA, or sales representative. So they are not employee of manufacturer, but they are independent businessmen who are going to retain their own identity, and they are more enjoying freedom levels in their own as a salesperson. Then a term I've been discussing with you in the initial classes, Export Management Company, EMC, a very key term in international marketing distribution, EMC. An export management company manages under the contract of the entire export program of a manufacturer. It is also known as a combination export manager, CEM, and sometimes it is also called as export department with not competing manufacturers. Then we got the Weber Pomeranian Association, WEBPOMERENE. It is formed when two or more firms, usually in the same industry, join together. When they join together to market their products overseas, it becomes Weber Pomeranian Association. So jointly owned by competing manufacturers for the purpose of export. Sometimes it seems very, very amazing how competing firms instead of non-competing firms are cooperating, but sometimes they are also into the unrelated products category, but they also enjoy their own way of business. So it is called very interesting category known as Weber Pomeranian Association. Now sometimes we have to also see that how export merchant performs. Export merchants cover a lot of common factors. They take neither risk nor title, but prefer to receive fees for their services. Unlike these middlemen, domestic merchants are independent businesses which are in business to make a profit rather than to receive a fee. Then sometimes another key term is there, EDS, Export Drop Shipper. It is also known as Desk Jobber, DESK, Desk Jobber, GOBBER, or Cable Merchant. Very special kind of export merchant business. So it simply means that the mode of operation requires to request the manufacturer to drop ship of a product directly to the overseas customers. So they are called EDS or Export Drop Shipper. Then there is another concept called Country Controlled Booking Agent, CCBA. It's another category of the purchasing agent, because they exactly do the same function as the purchasing buying agent, but the only difference is that Country Controlled Buying Agent is actually foreign government firm. So the Country Controlled Buying Agent is empowered to locate and purchase goods for their own country. So new kind of terms have also emerged, like trading companies, like export distributors. All these are covered under the category of indirect selling, which has got the biggest advantage in terms that manufacturer has to incur no startup cost. So it is simple channel, very inexpensive. Sometimes you can ask a question, sir, what is the biggest advantage of indirect selling? The biggest advantage of is that it is simple channel management, inexpensive, manufacturer has to incur no startup cost, and he is relieved of the responsibility of physical movement of the product overseas. So it is all duties of the intermediaries who are going to help share distribution, and the cost of moving goods are also further reduced. But sometimes they have also limitation. Limitation is that you do not control them, then they can affect your success of product. And if they are not aggressive in their efforts, then the manufacturer may become vulnerable, because competitors are always careful about their entries. So indirect channels may not necessarily be always a permanent solution. That is the problem, you know. In the marketing textbooks, it is called that indirect selling is not a permanent solution. So being in the self business or your own business, company has to develop its own way of direct method. So this is the very important limitation of the indirect channels. Coming to the direct selling channels, the biggest advantage in the direct selling channel is that you can always go for aggressive market exploitation, because manufacturer himself or herself is directly committed to the foreign markets. So they can have a greater control, greater evaluation, improvement in communication, approval has to be directly taken. So company's policies can be always controlled, and uniformity is also maintained in direct selling channels. But this kind of channel requires manufacturer has to deal always directly without going through intermediaries, even in the home country. So they have to set up overseas channels, and a very strong committed on sales force can always help them. But it is also not without problems. It is said that the manufacturer is unfamiliar with the local culture, with foreign market culture, economic environment. So it can become very time consuming to understand. And without a large volume of business, it could be risky to maintain that your direct selling efforts in the long run. So this is also a big limitation. Now here you have some very important categories. Foreign distributor. It is a foreign firm, having exclusive right to carry out distribution for a manufacturer in foreign country or specific area. Then another important intermediary is foreign retailer, FR, because there are many channels by which a manufacturer may contact foreign retailers, but trust them. Without trust, foreign retailers are not going to repay you. So you have to visit them, mail them catalogs, brochures, sales literature, retail literature, so that they become your prospective retailers, and then they are used. Then they have to always enter in the local market, and they can visit personally to influence the buyers. So a number of retail food chains are becoming larger and powerful because they are being in direct contact with the foreign manufacturers. Then state controlled trading companies, SCTC. So it's generally in telecommunication or in some kind of very rich capital rich projects, state controlled trading companies can also work, where they have got complete monopoly in the buying and selling of goods. And Hungary has about 100 state trading corporation, Hungary, country like Hungary having 100 state trading organizations for a variety of products, ranging from, you would be amazing, right from poultry to telecommunications, and both imported and exported products. So they have their own role to play in influencing the government's trade policies and also the local socio-political, economical considerations. Then another important channel intermediary, indirect channel, is the end user. Sometimes the manufacturer prefers to sell directly to the foreign users with no intermediaries involved. But it is sometimes logical, sometimes natural choice, and sometimes best choice for costly industrial products. So generally in case of consumer goods, this approach is practical, but it differs from country to country. So consumer purchases can result from duty and clearance problem, and consumer may place an order without understanding import regulations. So students, direct versus indirect distribution has got their own vis-a-vis benefits and factors. But I always say that customer satisfaction, control over marketing operations, control over channel partners, and then the most important thing is the profit levels. If you have got that, you want to become more economical and to establish on sales office, then paying commission calculation is not that profitable. So all in all, while deciding about the channel partners, channel structures, manufacturer to reaching from manufacturer to users, it could be door to door, it could be manufactured on store, it could be manufacturer's sales force, it could be agents, brokers, then brokers going to the retailers, and then ultimately retailers, and then customers. So there can be different types of channel partners which can be created by companies. But as I've been telling you and repeating time and again, the dear students, channel appropriateness has to be always decided by the company, given its product's nature, given the number of intermediaries involved, and never ignore the environment, because the total environment has to be considered. Because environment is going to ensure success or failure, with adequate freedom to local operating managements or agents. Because sometimes you have seen Japanese market and US markets, quick access, cheap access can always affect. So foreign manufacturer can exercise maximum control or minimum control, but it is the process of distribution. Sometimes it is the industrial products have got different kinds of elements. Manufacturer's sales force, distributors, agents, sometimes manufacturer directly selling. So there can be M, there can be MSF. MSF means manufacturer sales force. There can be W's, wholesalers, or there can be D's, distributors or direct agents. So all in all, it's a very important for a good international marketing company to consider all these factors, categories, and then take a proper channel management decision to enter or not to enter in a foreign market. Because it is the customer's expectations are rising. So they want the best out of the, they want the best out of the companies who are there. So according to the two important scholars in the field of international market, Litbeck, you know, L-I-T-B-A-K, Litbeck and Banting, B-E-N-T-I-N-G, you know, before coming to this audio session, I was going through the literature and I found that they have said that at least 6 to 7 environmental characteristics should be considered in channel development, especially in foreign market. Because sometimes the particular type of intermediary working well in one country may not be working well in the other country or elsewhere in foreign market, or even he may be losing effectiveness over a time period. So each country requires a unique channel. But a company may find to its knowledge that country classification system is useful, but it is also very costly. So the Litbeck and Banting's work has got around 6 to 7 important environmental characteristics. Sometimes they call that countries can be classified as hot country, moderate country or cold country. You can ask, sir, what do you mean by hot country? So let me begin with the 6 to 7 types of those environmental characteristics. To begin with, number one, EC. EC means environmental characteristics, political stability of the country. Number two, market opportunity of that country. Economic development and performance, third parameter. Fourth is cultural unity. Fifth, legal barriers and restrictions. And sixth, physiographic barriers. Seventh is geocultural distance. Seven out of these seven, a hot country is one that scores very high on the first four characteristics, from political to cultural, 1, 2, 3, 4, and low on the last three parameters, 5, 6, 7, legal, physiographic and geocultural difference. On the other hand, a cold country is exactly the opposite of the hot country, and a moderate one is going to be medium on all seven characteristics as I discussed with you. So now I think you got the difference between hot, cold and moderate. So sometimes USA falling in the line with the characteristics of hot country, and Canada, given its cultural unity, is moderate, and in physiographic barriers are also moderate. Sometimes Germany is a hot country, while Brazil in contrast almost conforming to a cold country's characteristics. So this is classification, as you know, there is no end. You know, let me tell you very clearly, these all seven characteristics are very important, were given by Litwick and Banting, but it is the suitability of the channel. Each country requires a unique channel system. So classification is just, a scientific way, but the purpose of country temperature is also sometimes playing a role of gradient, temperature gradient, to see that how a country is behaving. So this was all about my today's session, dear students. I hope this session was very informative and productive, and you must have enjoyed this session, and you will definitely be benefited in due course of time as you go through more and more sessions relating to my topic. You can drop your queries, you can drop your questions to me. I've been available to you. You got my contact details as well. So wish you all the best. Stay home, stay healthy and stay safe. It's bye-bye from Dr. Dharmendra Mehta.